Brother Littles, come on.
Praise the Lord, church. My name's Jim, and I'm a worshiper. Lord, we worship you tonight and lift up your name. It is high, high, high above the heavens, and we purpose tonight to magnify you more than our troubles. We purpose to magnify you more than our unmet needs. We promise to magnify you than any pain that we have ever felt in our lives. We promise to magnify you above our uncertainties about tomorrow. We lift you up, for you truly extend beyond all of those things, and you and your promises endure for all times. We praise you and we glorify you and we lift up your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 17 through 18. Sherry and I are certainly delighted and honored to be with all of you this weekend, and what a treat it is to be with Brother and Sister Schumacher. All I can say is the gentleman that said that someone else is more sophisticated must have been blind in the eye that was looking toward your pastor, that's for sure. And what special people they are, and had a great time at lunch this afternoon. And thank you to whoever else was in the restaurant that paid for our meal. Don't know who that was. You know who you were, but thank you for that. Pastor said we could go ahead and buy 3 or 4 more meals and go ahead and put it on the tab since you had covered it. No, not really, but thank you so much, and Sherry and I always feel so blessed to be here and look forward to those times. And if this feels so good here, imagine what it's going to be like in the presence of an almighty God. We're going to be able to talk to our Chinese brothers and sisters, understand each other, and hear the goodness that God had in their lives. We're going to talk to our brothers and sisters that went through such tremendous oppression in Russia back under the time of the Iron Curtain, and what a time of fellowship that's going to be. And we get to start that now among God's people. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 through 18. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him, that is Jesus, to be made like unto his brethren, that is us, that he might be able to be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, is able to succor them that are tempted. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you paid the reconciliation price for all of us, and that you are here tonight to succor us, to hold us, to comfort us, to keep us in your hand. And for this we give you glory and honor and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I truly believe, as Pastor said, the Lord blessed in a mighty way this morning. It didn't begin with the preaching. It began with the worship, as you all joined together in worship and made space for the Spirit to move, tongues and interpretation of tongues. In some ways, we've been very spoiled. I look at some people who get really picky about what they're eating all the time. Said, man, every meal you've ever had must have been the best in the world if you had a problem with that, you know. I've been out to eat with a few folk. Fortunately, I can't remember exact faces right now, so I'm safe. But I've been out to meet with a few folk that they always send the meal back to have it cooked over again. Doesn't matter. This just wasn't good enough. I guess life has been so good that you can complain just about everything. But part of our challenge as God's people is he has spoken to us so many times. Remember, Solomon one day hears from the Lord and says, I talked to you twice in 25 years. I talked to you twice in 25 years, and now you've walked away from me. For that, I take away the kingdom from you, and I'll give one tribe for Jerusalem's sake and one tribe for your father David's sake, and all the other 10 tribes are going to be given to your friend, to someone else, because you heard my voice 2 times in 25 years. Oh, we have heard his voice. Kind of lost track, haven't you? I mean, this week. much less this month or this year or this decade or this millennium or next month I will celebrate my 50th birthday spiritually, not the other one. The 50th birthday of being baptized, and how good God has been all of this time. This morning the Lord spoke to a few people, and I would like for you to pause right now and just remember a couple of those things. If we are not careful, we hear from the Lord, and then it just goes on, and we say next. We say next, and then we talk about how good service was last week, and we don't really remember what God said. So let's take a few moments and pause and solidify something. Amen. I know this might seem a little bit awkward for you, but I'll give you a moment. Think about something the Lord spoke to you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I trust that you are thinking of one of those two Simons and perhaps something that the Lord was calling you to do, and your, what Jean Piaget would say, was schema. Your understanding didn't fit anymore with the new data, the new information, and God's call out of some of you. Some of you came and talked to me after church this morning and said, these are some things God's drawing out of me to take me to the next place. You need to do a couple of things. One is sometime within the next day or two, you need to call a brother and sister and say, this is something God's working on me. I need you to pray for me. I need you to work on this with me, because we are not going to lose what God did this morning. We're not going to be like James said. We look into the glass and God speaks to us, and then we turn away and we forgot what we looked like. Okay, we want to consolidate that. So some of you, many of you that the Lord spoke to, need to call someone this week. I know you can do that with your spouse if you're married, but I think sometimes our spouses are too nice to us and kind of let those things go. Find a brother or sister who you can know that they'll care for you, as we saw in James chapter number 5. And secondly, I need two or three people to stand tonight and say, this is what God's calling out of me, calling, speaking to me, and did so this morning. I know some of the things that the Lord spoke to you are so private and so kind of heart-searching that you wouldn't feel comfortable confessing it to the whole congregation. I completely understand, completely get it. But are there two or three of you who can stand and say, this is what the Lord spoke to me about this week, and I'm going to abide in this for a next season of time till God brings this completely to pass? Sister. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you even now that you've placed these things in our sister. And we pray, Lord, that these words which are from you, you bring it to pass. And whatever the things need to be removed, made way for new places and new opportunities, Lord, in her spirit, we pray that you do that work. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Yes, sister. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the drawing on our sister. We pray, Lord Jesus, that the gifts and strengths that you have placed in her, you will be able to use it for your glory, your purposes, and your design. As you take those things, Lord, that you would like to rearrange in her heart, we know, Lord, that there are things perhaps from her past that you need to adjust and change and bring into perspective of your divine volition, your divine will, Lord. We thank you even now, and we claim it not just for her, but we claim it for her neighbors that are going to see your light through her and folks with whom she may work or encounter in the marketplace. We claim it now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir.
I've always prayed for life. It's
Lord Jesus, you have been so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation to our brother this morning, Lord Jesus. This love that he knows from you, that your love for him can be lived out in every relationship that he has. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that the healing that's needed in his spirit and in his mind and his emotions so that he can love others and respect others in your name and in your purposes, in your way. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will bring that to pass and you'll give our brother the strength. And when he fails in one of those things, he will make another step out of commitment and faithfulness to you. And you will bring that to pass what you have begun. We give you thanks and we give you glory and we give you honor in these things. We trust you, Lord. 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 Amen. 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 God is doing things in our lives. We've got to commit ourselves to walking in the light of that. I'm sure Simon number two had some things that had to happen in him from that day forward. He prayed, but he also had to find that root of bitterness and find some ways that it continued to invade him and to control and manipulate him so that he could walk more powerfully in it. More powerfully in it. This morning, I believe the Lord kind of did open heart surgery on a number of us. And maybe you got a wound there that's still gaping a little bit. And when my dad had his open heart surgery several years ago, he told me that the wound in his leg hurt more than the wound in his chest, where they had taken out the veins to reroute the plumbing around his heart. So at least that's what I felt this morning. The Lord was doing some deep, deep work that requires a peace. So I think a companion of that we need to realize and to receive from the Lord. Tonight I want to preach a little bit about the blessings of our high priest. The blessings of our high priest. When I say blessings, oftentimes people think about perhaps a home, perhaps a vacation that they had anticipated or longed for, that dream vacation, that dream home, that dream car, that dream job. Perhaps children being able to get into the right university or what have you. Oftentimes we think of blessings in those categories and in those places. But we know from Matthew chapter 5 that Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the mourners, and blessed are the meek, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and blessed are the merciful and pure in heart and the peacemaker and the persecuted. If we read down that list and say, don't want it, prefer not, I'll give that one to somebody else. Did you ever play that game at Christmas time when you're at a party and one person opens the gift and you can either steal that one or take one or the other? And those who gave the gift, you're hoping yours gets stolen three or four times. It meant that your gift was worth something. And how yucky it feels when your gift was opened second and it's still there with that same person 15 people later. When we look at this list and the Lord says that I want to make my people blessed in these ways, we need to receive the blessings of the Lord. So tonight I want to talk about those blessings of our high priest. As we see here in Hebrews chapter number 2, occupies the high priest's office, part of the incarnation that with God was manifest in the flesh, and all the fullness of God is in him. And through this process, he fulfills a high priestly function because he knows what we're going through. So many times we go through things and we think nobody understands this. And if you ever had psychology 101 or a counseling class, you know that when someone says they're going through a difficult time, the worst thing you can say back to them is, I understand, I know it. Because they're going to say, no, you don't. Even if you've been through the exact same set of circumstances, maybe you too lost a spouse, or you too had a child pass away, or you too have lived unemployed for a season of time, you don't know exactly what the other person is going through. But God chose to walk as a human being and to suffer as a human being and tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And fortunately, I don't think we have been betrayed as deeply as he was betrayed. Having the capacity to love and to care for a world with eternal consequences and yet have everyone turn their back on him. The disciples, as we saw this morning, said, Lord, we'll not walk away. We'll go all the way to prison and death. And scriptures tells us they all walked away. part of that season, John was at the base of the cross, but another scripture says they all walked away. Jesus experienced rejection and pain and sorrow in dimensions that I don't know that any of us have experienced them in that way. He truly is of us and with us, and now filling us with the Spirit, he is in us. But we have to recognize that his high priestly function, and when we see the from the Old Testament into the New Testament, high priests offer a sacrifice on behalf of the people. Aren't you so thankful that what we place in his hands, he takes it all the way into the throne room? We have access with the Father through our advocate, our high priest, Jesus. We can go boldly right into the throne room of God. Our offerings that we give, no matter how large nor how small, the largest offering seems to be in the New Testament was a lady who gave two small coins. Seems like it's the biggest offering in the New Testament. You got other rich people were throwing in their whole purse filled with gold and silver, and the usher went, you know, as it hit the pouch, it went down with all that gold. The usher didn't even see her as her two small coins went in. But Jesus saw and seen that she had given of everything. He takes our offerings, as fragile and frail as they are, and takes them boldly into the throne room of God. High priest in the Old Testament kept the sanctuary as a holy place, a place that's inhabited by God. The sanctuary had to be kept clean and pure and holy. Aren't you glad Jesus makes us holy and clean and pure? Aren't you thankful we can still be a holiness people in the 21st century? This holiness message does not belong in the last millennium. It belongs right here and right now. And people say, well, you got to be more relevant to the world. There is nothing more relevant to the world than a holiness people. Just because the world doesn't want it doesn't mean it's not relevant to them. As a matter of fact, it's more necessary today. In a world that's confused, we need to respect gender distinction and modesty in a world that has lost all of that. So I'm more adamant about that holiness stuff today than I was 10 or 15 years ago. More adamant about modesty, more adamant about living within our means, and more adamant about keeping a watch on our mouth and having holiness in our emotions and holiness in our thoughts. That's what a high priest did, had to keep the sanctuary clean and pure. And some of his servants, they would be trained as guards to stand around the tabernacle or later the temple to make sure no unclean thing got near. Remember when the king's mother killed all the seed, royal scripture says, and one little boy was hidden in the temple, and she came in to find the last royal child and to have that child put to death so she could reign as the evil queen. And scripture says that the priests which were there grabbed her, and she cried out, treason, treason, but they hauled her out of the holy place. Those guards functioned under the unction of the high priest. I'm so thankful that there are angels around that we can't even see in this room tonight, protecting us and caring for us. We're so thankful tonight that we have a cloud of witnesses which are alive, as well as witnesses which have gone on already that watch over us, and not in a way that we pray to them, but we are compassed by such a cloud of witnesses that strengthens us and holds us strong. We have that. All of that functions under the work of the high priest who keeps the sanctuary holy. In the Old Testament, the high priest taught the people about God, about their neighbor, and loving self. Through divine directives, they had to learn the differences between clean and unclean, between good and evil, and the high priest did that. And I'm so thankful that Jesus does that today. He teaches the difference between clean and unclean, and I'm thankful when I listen, because I don't always listen. Sometimes he has to teach me again and again and again, because I don't pay attention. Anyone else too poor to pay attention? You just hear God's word, and then we move on as if we didn't do anything. And God loves us so much, he doesn't go on. Let us go on. He brings us right back to it and says, son, daughter, I want you to learn this thing. I want you to recognize this. I want you to realize that is unclean. Not just because there's a rule someplace. You know, many people, when it comes to holiness, they want to know exact chapter and verse for everything. There are some biblical principles which lead and guide us daily in the ways of God and the work of the Spirit that helps us in that way. So to discern between clean and unclean, between good and evil. And finally, the thing that I really want to talk about tonight is the high priest pronounced the blessings on the people. So let's turn to Numbers chapter 6 and see those high priestly blessings. We need to, this week, as we are walking in what we heard this morning, we need to couple that with a hearing of Jesus' high priestly blessings on our behalf. We want to know that we are blessed. When the evil one wants to tell us we are not living blessed, we need to hear what the master tells us. One writer calls this privileging God's conversation. Ed Wimberly, in his excellent book on pastoral care, says you've got to privilege what God says above what everybody and everything else says. You've got to privilege what God says about what you think about yourself and what you've heard about yourself in the past. You've got to hear what God says. So there are three blessings we're going to concentrate on from this passage. Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise shall you bless. As high priest, you're going to bless the children of Israel, and you're going to say this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance unto you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I want the blessings that Jesus wants for me. There's a lot of stuff I would like to have. A lot of stuff I would like to experience. I don't really have a bucket list. I'm afraid to make one. Okay, now some people say they have a bucket list and they check those things off. I'm afraid of how long my list would be. So I just have purposed in my mind, I'm not going to make a bucket list of what I want to experience because I would get too focused on those things. I want to hear what God says, son. When you get this, you're going to know you are blue ribbon blessed. I don't know if any of you are going to the Racine County Fair, which is this coming weekend, but I'm sure some boy is going to take a pig out there and is going to get a blue ribbon tied around the pig's neck. On its way to becoming bacon, by the way, but that's another story. There'll be someone stand there with their jar of jelly, and it'll get a blue ribbon. It's the best jelly. Tonight, we are the blessed people of an almighty God, but you got to go to the right blesser. You got to go under the right spigot. You got to get in the place where you can receive those blessings. And you got to love the taste of these blessings. I kind of like a cup of coffee from time to time, like 3 or 4 times before breakfast, okay? that's my time to time, okay? Now that we're traveling a little more, I carry my beans and somebody bought me a bean grinder so I can grind my beans because hotel coffee is just a little bit suspicious. So I can grind my beans, put my little filter there in my AeroPress and make me a nice cup of coffee in the morning. And then another one. And sometimes another one. I want to know tonight what Jesus says makes me blessed. My wife hates coffee. She loves the smell of it, but she doesn't like the taste of it. She never acquired the taste. Right. I can still remember my first cup of coffee. Let me tell you, it did not come from freshly ground beans. And I had it in styrofoam, which I never do. That cup of coffee when I was 10 years old in a styrofoam cup must have had 8 scoops of sugar and stirred with a 10-penny nail. Because we men were working on the church that we were building, so I had to be hoorah like a man, you know. So I would drink my cup of coffee. I can still taste that syrup today. Somehow I acquired the taste of coffee and got rid of the sugar and got rid of the 10-penny nail and just drink the cup of coffee. But they tell me coffee is an acquired taste, as many other things are. I want to acquire the things which he says makes me blessed. Wealth is not in this list. Did you notice? A big house isn't in this list. Now, God may choose to give you, I'm sure God's going to give some of us in this room blessings of wealth, but that's another sermon on why he blessed you with wealth. I'll just give you the Cliff Notes version. He blessed you with wealth so you can be a good steward of those resources for the kingdom purposes. Okay? If he blesses you with a big houses usually land in the neighborhood of other big houses, right? I have not yet seen a 5,000 square foot house in the middle of a trailer park. Big houses, big neighborhoods where every house has its own zip code. You know why God needs some of you to have a big house? Because that neighborhood needs a witness. If God gives you a big house, he's not trying to bless you. He's trying to bless all your neighbors. And they need a light shining in their neighborhood. And there can't be a light shining in their neighborhood unless God chooses to bless one of you at the big house in the big house neighborhood. So those of you that live in a big house, don't say God's blessed you. Say God's wanting to bless my neighbors. That's why he put one of my kids right here, right now in this place. And if you're living in that trailer park, don't you dare feel like you're unblessed by God, because God's wanting to bless your neighbor too, the one on the concrete pad next to you. God loves them so much, he has somebody in the house living in a trailer park. Somebody in the house living in Section 8 housing, where the government picks up a chunk of it so somebody else maintains that housing. Don't you see that as a curse? You need to realize that folks that live in that subsidized housing neighborhood needs an apostolic witness there. That's why God has you there. Your wealth is not a valuation of you. God has placed us strategically in areas of life because he needs us to be there. And we need to be good stewards of those resources. So we want to have an acquired taste. We want to recognize when God blesses us, I want to taste that more and better than anything else. When I was growing up in upstate New York, we were a little bit on the poorer side. We were so poor we had to eat homemade bread all the time. Poor us. You know, you pull it out of the oven, and before it's cooled off, you cut it. You can't cut thin slices of hot bread. I had to suffer growing up, eating an inch and a half thick pieces of hot bread straight out of the oven. I didn't realize it, but I was acquiring a taste. I was acquiring a taste of what it is to see what happens after the extent of a mama who knew how to let it rise and beat it down and let it rise and beat it down and bake it just right. And when it came out, take the butter, let it soak into the, anybody else? That doesn't taste like Wonder Bread. I don't care what they put on the label. That stuff in plastic doesn't taste like the stuff that comes out of the oven and I get to cut it while it's hot. I acquired a taste, and till this day, I cannot quite stand being away from nice biscuits and nice loaf of bread because I acquired a taste at my mother's table. Is there anybody in the house tonight that has something in your spirit? Lord, would you draw me to your table? The world's given me tastes. Too long I've wanted what they have fed me. Tonight I have a desire to have my appetite tailor-made, tuned in to your divine provision. And when I awake in the morning, I can taste your divine blessings. I can say, oh Lord, this day is blessed by you. When I go to bed at night, it doesn't matter whether they think I've been blessed or not, but I've been at my Father's table, and I have tasted his blessings, and I will say, I was blessed today. Jim, your truck still has rust. I don't care. Rust and no rust has no determiner on whether or not I've been blessed.
But Jesus tonight needs to tailor our emotional and spiritual and physical and mental and relational taste buds to the place that when we receive his blessings, first of all, we recognize it. Whoa, dude, that was a blessing from the Lord. Just hit me upside the head. Growing up in upstate New York, we were known to throw snowballs once in a while. Sometimes they were at each other, and once in a while they got misdirected towards automobiles running down the street. That never happens in Wisconsin, but it happened in New York. Somehow our snowballs curved and just... One day this gentleman was driving by in his pickup truck, and one of our snowballs got misdirected. It went right through the window and hit him in the head. He stopped. He was not happy. We sometimes do not even recognize when the Father has designed a blessing for us and it smacks us right upside the head, we go on as if nothing ever happened. Because I still don't have my dream vacation. I still don't have that extra home by the beach. Still gonna have to go to work tomorrow. But Lord, tonight I've come to confess, I have a desire that my tastes, my longings, my quests in life get tailor-made to the way you want to bless us. This first blessing we see of the high priest is the high priest is going to say to you, the Lord will bless you and keep you. Here's the number one blessing from an almighty God. I do care about you, but I care more about this blessing than everything else that's about your life. So please don't think that I'm mean-spirited or angry, but I care more that the Lord keeps you than anything else, that your life, your epithet, your biography when you're gone, the stories they tell while you're looking at you in the box and say, you look so natural, but you don't, but we all lie at funerals, okay? The stories they tell about you when you're laying in the box, I care that this be said about us. The Lord kept us. Not about where we lived or the fine clothes that we had or the education that we experienced. When my days are done, I would prefer someone say, Jesus kept Jim, not that Jim had a doctorate degree. I want people to know that my Jesus held me through storms, through ups, through difficulties, through glorious moments, and yes, even through university to earn the silly doctorate degree. I want them to know I was kept by the hand of the Savior. I'm a blessed man tonight. I'm in the hand of Jesus. John 17, verse 11 through 13. John 17, 11 through 13. Jesus in his last prayer says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your own name those which I have given that you gave me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, the scripture, might be fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, if we can wake up every morning and receive this blessing of God. How about somebody purpose that every morning from now on, your new morning routine, when your eyes wake up, you can say, I am blessed, I am in the Master's hand. Doesn't matter what I have to eat or don't have to eat. I will start this day recognizing my location is in the middle of the hands of Jesus Christ. I am blessed. Those of you that are technological and you wake up by your cell phone, why don't you just make yourself a new ringtone that goes off at whatever time you have to set it. And it says, you're blessed, you're in Jesus' hand today. You're blessed, you're in Jesus' hand today. Wouldn't it be great if that were the first thing you could hear in the morning? You're blessed, daughter. You're blessed, son. You're in my hand and nothing can pry you out of my hand. Scripture tells us that none of them were lost. You see, you cannot be lost. You can choose to flee his hand. But you can't be lost from his hand. You see the difference? You can flee his hand, but you can't be lost from his hand. Those of you that have been filled with the Spirit, you got to work hard to backslide. You got to ignore every blessing from the Lord. You've got to choose to say, I don't know, 1,000 times, 2,000 times, 10,000 times, his word is not true. All those times that I've been in his presence and laid down at this altar, the day I was baptized in water and spirit, that meant absolutely nothing. You got to work hard to get to the place where you say, God is not. And scripture calls that you eventually can get yourself to a reprobate mind. That is not being lost. That's walking away. People who go and play on the interstate are not lost on the interstate. They have walked into danger, out of safety. People who walk away from God, they are not lost, they are walking away. It's choices that they make every single day. They choose to say, God has not been good to me. It is not worth it to pray. It's not worth it to read his word. It's not worth it to be in his house. It's not worth it to raise my hands and worship him. When you say that enough times to yourself, after a while you will believe your own lie. That is not being lost. That is walking away from God's loving care, because all the while he is calling you home. The woman that had 10 coins and lost one, what did she do? She swept the house. She moved the furniture on purpose, not to mess up the shins of her husband. She moved the furniture to find that coin. And when she found the coin, she called all her neighbors in to celebrate. Coin had no idea that it was lost. The lamb that was lost, what did the shepherd do? Put the 99 in safety and then went and found the one. But the boy who walked away with intent to dishonor his father, with intent, it's very clear in that culture, what that man did was a choice to dishonor his daddy. He chose to go away and dishonor his father. His dad couldn't go get him because the boy had chosen to dishonor his father. Tonight, I am choosing. Sherry and I are choosing. With most of you, we are choosing. We will not dishonor our Heavenly Father who has brought us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We who were not a people have become a people. We refuse to say we are unblessed. Instead, we choose to say, he has blessed me and he has kept me. He shelters me from danger. You say, well, Brother Littles, you don't understand. I've been through a difficult time. I do understand. He kept you in that difficult time. You've not been pried out of his hand. You're in the house tonight. You're confessing God loves you. You're dancing in the Spirit. You're worshiping him. You are blessed. Cost-benefit analysis goes out the window. Spreadsheets don't handle all of this, because one entry, the blessings of our Heavenly Father, wipes out every other deficit. Everything else doesn't mean anything. You can spend your whole day counting what's gone wrong, and none of that equals up to this one blessing from God. He blesses you and keeps you. Unfortunately, too many people magnify their problems and not Jesus. I'm one of those people from time to time.
Oh, God's been mysteriously silent in my life.
No, you've mysteriously misplaced your hearing aid battery in this life. Kind of the cool thing about early onset geezerhood, I can sometimes fake having a hearing problem, sometimes it's real. You know, you're getting old when you just start talking to your spouse or to your parents, you just automatically echo yourself every time. How are you? How are you? Where would you like to go for lunch? Where would you like to go for lunch? Does this look good? Does this look good? You know, you just decide, I'm going to have to repeat it anyway. Why is it that we have tasted the world's provision while being the sons and daughters of God, that we get messed up in our tastes, and instead of tasting His provision of care and saying, this is all I need to know I'm in Jesus' hand, we start wanting the tastes of Egypt land. We mock the Israelites as they said, we wish we were back in Egypt where we could eat, what was it, onions and melons? We would give up all the freedom to have a good scallion every morning for breakfast. Their tastes had been damned. The damnation came from forgetting all that God had done for them. Dear God, let it not be said of us that our taste buds have been damned because we give up our thankfulness for the liberty and the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the liberty of being an American. That has so small compared to the liberty that comes by being purchased by the blood of Calvary. I am thankful for my country, but it's nothing compared to how thankful I am for being in the King's hand. Here, so that's the first blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. And if that were the only blessing, I gotta say that ought to be enough. Second blessing, he says, and make his face shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. This is Old Testament language. This says God's divine favor. That is, God has committed to what's best for all of us. As we know from Romans chapter 8, all things work together for the good of those. It's plural. It's not just the good for me, it's the good for us. We want to take those things and we want to take every daydream we've ever had and said, if God really loves me, all these daydreams would come true. That's the taste that the world wants you to get, a taste of dissatisfaction, that no matter what you have, it's not good enough, it's not pricey enough, it's not precious enough, it's not the latest, all of those things. That's the world's restaurant's menu. You can get so adapted to eating starchy things or sugary things that you go without sugar, you start having a conniption fit because you've been taught to enjoy only things that are flavored with corn syrup. Apologies for the corn growers in the room. But if we can realize that His divine favor is on us and what happens in our lives works together for the good, that our labors together, Scripture tells us we are called to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, and we are called to weep with those who weep. One day Jesus had to tell His boys, you're always going to have poor people with you. Yeah. Feed them, clothe them, visit them in the hospital, visit folks in prison, but you're always going to have poor folk with you. And sometimes we're saying, that's fine as long as it isn't me. God did not come to give us wealth. He came to give us blessings. This morning, He did some heart surgery to pull some things out of us. What I'm asking you to do tonight is to receive the blessings of the Lord into the space where He removed some stuff. Three people testified to some things that God wanted to pull away. Now you need to put something in that space, and you need to put it there quickly. Because Scripture tells us that the enemy will come and he will put worse things in the place than what Jesus took out this morning. So you got to quickly, the place that he pulled some things out, you got to say, I'm going to receive his blessings and his divine favor. We are the first fruits of all creation, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We are called from sin and called to serve. Let's look at Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, sometimes disobedient, sometimes deceived, sometimes serving divers lusts and pleasures, sometimes living in malice and envy. I'll just keep it up. sometimes been hateful, sometimes hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he showed us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by grace, we might be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We could become heirs by the hope of eternal life. You and I are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. I like to go to household sales once in a while. Any other sailors in the room? I couldn't tack my way 100 yards out into your lake here, but I enjoy sailing of the other variety from time to time. One of my former students contacted us yesterday. Said, we're going into this house in New Orleans that's having a household sale. The doctor's passed away. The man had 3 rooms of watches. Most of them never been out of the box. He had spent his years accumulating. The man had really long arms, that's all I can say. He had spent his years accumulating watches, and when he died, his kids said, let's hire somebody to come in here and put $35 on every boxed watch and $10 on those that don't have the box anymore, and let's get them out of here. Yes, 4 of them are coming to my house. Gonna give some of them away and probably put a couple more on my arm. I don't know. But you see, he had spent his days accumulating. His heirs didn't want what he had to offer, so they said, dump them all. All those ties that Dad's never worn, we don't want them either. Sell them all. Those shoes still in the box, get rid of them all. Nice suits crafted in England at those expensive places, get rid of them all. We don't want any of them. Sell those tailor-made British suits for $25 a piece, please. When we walk out from the blessings of an almighty God, we're saying that to the 100th degree. That blessing from God, just put it on the market. Whatever they want to give for it, they can have it. Because I don't want to be an heir of watches. I don't want to be an heir of shoes or neckties. Brothers and sisters, I want to be the heir and joint heir with Christ. Whatever he finds is valuable, that's what's got to be valuable to me. Whatever he says is worth something, that's what I want to be valuable. We spend our days lamenting things which the master doesn't really value, because we've acquired a taste for the things of the world. Now, I'm not talking about evil things. I'm not talking about committing adultery. I'm not talking about murdering your neighbor who can't keep his dog from barking. I'm not talking about stealing from folks down the street. I'm talking about getting your taste acclimated that enjoys pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of the King's house. That's what I'm talking about tonight. I pray, Lord Jesus, those taste buds which are in my mouth, which due to my fallen nature, I had the sucking reflex of an infant. You know what that is, right? You touch the infant on their cheek and they'll move towards it. And you don't have to teach a child to suck the bottle. You just stick it in the child's mouth and innately they begin to suck on it because of our fallen nature. We innately desire the things of this world. But Jesus came and his grace was shed abroad in our heart. And this morning he was so loving towards me and so loving towards you that his mercies were stacked up in here, brothers and sisters. And to go home, we had to climb out over all of those mercies to find the door. And if you ever play in a hayloft before, You got to climb over all those bales of hay to get to the window. When you went home this morning, that's what you did. You said, I got to push some more mercy out of the way to get out of the house, because God stacked this room to the ceiling and overflowing with abundant wave after gracious mercy. And tonight I'm saying, Lord, let me love that more than anything else. Let me love it more than the acclaim of humanity. Let me love it more than having my name be known. Let me have it more, love it more than needing success in what I define as success. So this second blessing is the divine favor of God. Now, who's the only one wise enough to figure out what's divine favor? The divine one. Doesn't that make sense? So after your alarm clock goes off and says, you're blessed of the Lord, you've kept in his hand. Next thing, you may need to make a note to yourself and plaster it right there on your mirror next to where you shave, or in my case, I haven't owned a comb for several years now, but kind of cuts down an overhead, you know. You don't have to worry about a comb, losing them all the time. So put a sticker there that says, God has divine favor for me today. I'm not going to tell God what that is. I'm going to trust him that what he brings my way is divinely blessed by him. Put that on your prayer list, would you? Lord, would you bless my brothers and sisters at the Racine Church with your divine favor today? Bless Pastor and Sister Pastor with divine favor today, Lord. Your crafted wisdom's gift to them, let it come in all of its splendor and wonder. I would lots rather have his favor than my foolishness. I would rather have his favor than disobedience. I would rather have his favor than deception. I would rather have his favor than divers lusts and pleasures. I would rather have his favor than malice and envy. His favor over hatefulness, hating one another. I want the favor of an almighty God and the high priest from the Old Testament that's now in Jesus Christ, the only high priest that knows our sin, our temptation, but not our sin. I want to receive the divine favor from that one, Jesus. So I pray right now on you, on this church body, on every one of your families, on you individually, I pray right now a gushing of divine favor. I pray a divine favor on this week. I pray a divine favor on the remainder of this summer. A divine favor on the pending autumn and the rest of this year. I pray a divine blessing that's crafted in heavenly places, in a place where his divine spout goes into your home. I pray that he pumps it full every day of his divine blessings. And we set our limits, our desires, our longing. I only have so much space for things. I will push aside anything that impinges his design, divine favor. When hatefulness or envy comes my way, I'm going to push it aside, because that hatefulness pushes out his divine favor. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to see the hands of those that receive that blessing. Would you claim it right now? Lord, we claim that blessing. We claim a blessing of wisdom. We claim a blessing of wisdom that helps us to see the fiery darts of the enemy. We claim the blessing of understanding, O Lord, that we cherish your gifts that you bring our way as divine favor. And we cherish, Lord, a tuned appetite that never again turns up our nose at your divine favor. We receive that now in Jesus' holy, matchless name, our high priest. Almighty God, Church, this is what God has wanted for his people since the beginning of time. And that's why these blessings were sent from the high priest to the people. Israel failed in the blessings. Israel turned away from the blessings. We would rather have the power of Babylon than the blessings of our Savior. We would rather have the treasures of Egypt than the blessings of our Savior. Let that not be our case. Here's the third blessing. Yahweh, the Lord, lift up his countenance and give you peace. Peace is the quest of the ages. The desire of all human beings is to live at peace, although we don't always define it appropriately. Peace is not withdrawal. Peace is not surviving. Peace is not just getting meaning or growing as an individual. Peace instead abides with the Prince of Peace. Peace abides with the Prince of Peace. He did not give us again the spirit of bondage to fear, but he gave us an unction in the spirit where we can cry out, Abba Father. Peace comes our way as the Prince of Peace moves in. Brothers and sisters, we have been saved yesterday, justification and forgiveness. We are saved today, his work of sanctification, and we're going to be saved for eternity. That is glorification. That is the source of peace. Peace is not contingent on what Russia decides to do or what ISIS decides to do. Peace is not contingent on those who manipulate Wall Street and what they decide to do. It's not contingent on whether they take manufacturing plants to Asia or not. Peace is only determined on whether I choose to stay in proximity to the Prince of Peace. I'm not talking about the momentary anxiety or fear. That's a natural thing. I'm talking about choosing to stay in anxiety or fear instead of drawing closer to the Prince of Peace. So when difficulty comes your way, it's natural to feel despair and fear and anxiety for a moment. But it's spiritual to say, okay, circumstances caused me to take that dip. But in the spirit right now, I call on the Prince of Peace. This news from the doctor cannot erect a barrier against the blessings from the Prince of Peace. My financial turmoil cannot hold back a wave of favor from the Prince of Peace. Uncertainties about retirement and my future. I'll exercise wisdom the best I can, but I can't control tomorrow. So I'll trust the one who has tomorrow in his hand. So I'm going to hold on to the Prince of Peace. Let's look at John 14, verse 26 through 28. As we said this morning, or just earlier here actually, a few moments ago, blessed are the peacemakers. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Those of you that might have gone through an educator's class or two along the way know that before you can get a student to value the learning and incorporate it into their new value system and structure and live in it, they got to first pay attention. You know, whatever you got to do to get their attention, sometimes you do crazy things to get their attention, because if they're not attending, they're not going to learn. Here it says, we'll teach you all things, but we can't learn these things unless we're attending to him. He will teach us all things and bring things to our remembrance. You can't remember except you've already learned those things. Whatsoever I've said unto you, here we go, peace I leave. Now, where is Jesus getting ready to go? To the cross, isn't he? Going to the cross, but here's my legacy, peace. Spitefully used, but here's my legacy, peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not like the world gives. You see the difference there? My peace is here. Don't confuse it with what they say, peace and safety. If you give rulers your freedom and your finances, they will tell you you're at peace. But Jesus gave everything so we could be in a right relationship with him and be on his mission in the world. I give it to you now. Flavor. Enjoy the flavor. Enjoy the taste. Savor it. Have you ever had such that perfect, those of you that like steak, that perfect piece of filet mignon? Or the lobster tail? Any seafood lovers in the house? When it's fixed, not the rubbery kind that someone wasted it, but the right kind. You put it in your mouth, you don't gulp that down. That filet mignon, you just kind of... And filet mignon doesn't come in the 32-ounce pack. You only need 5 or 6 ounces. And don't you dare offer me A1 steak sauce. What's that? What's up with that? Go into a steakhouse. They ask you if you need steak sauce. If I need steak sauce, I'm leaving. But we come to the presence of an almighty God where he knows what we need to enjoy. We say, can I have a little sauce with that? Because I can't get the steak down the way you fix it, Jesus. So I need some things, some fixings on the side. How about on this beautiful Sunday where the Lord loved us so much this morning that we had to climb over his piles of mercy to get out the door? How about tonight we say, Lord, from now on, I'm going to trust the way your peace sets on my tongue. And I'm going to spend my days when others are saying you should be afraid. And I'm just going to let that peace of the Lord waft over every taste bud. And it's going to go down my throat and go through every member of my body, feeling the peace that you give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You heard I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice, because I say I go unto the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Brothers and sisters, this third piece makes sense in a world of chaos. In a world of chaos, in a world of shame, in a world of sorrow, this is where we're going to know who's walking in the favor of God and who is not. It's those who have peace in the storm. And you want to be a witness to your family? Live in peace and love them. When they spitefully use them, love them back. But you got to walk in peace to do it. Otherwise, as Pastor said earlier, our old nature just kind of rises up. That's flavors that we used to like. Okay? Flavors we used to like. And we've had to do for a season. And this season is the rest of this natural life. We've had to choose to say, I will not taste that flavor again. There are some people who can't own a motorcycle because at one time they owned a motorcycle and they were in a gang and it meant certain things. So for those men or women, they have to choose. I will never ride a motorcycle again. Not because motorcycles in themselves are bad, but they hit a flavor in my mouth. And when I get on one, I feel that flavor coming on me again. I'm not going to do that. Some people can go to ball games because they go for a moment and leave, but other people go to a ball game and they feel that hero worship coming on. They feel that native desire of the flesh coming on. They feel the pleasures of the world creeping in. I say, I can't go back here anymore because I don't want that taste in my mouth. The taste in the mouth that I want is the flavor that the king puts there, that I'm in his hand, that his divine favor is on me, and that his peace is on me. And finally, again, we've read it once. Let's read it one more time. Numbers 6, verse 27. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Scripture says, the Deuteronomy, that I'll find a city, and I'm going to put my name on that city. That's the city of Jerusalem, got his name. Brothers and sisters, when we've been baptized into his name. We belong to him. He's put his name on us individually and collectively, and because of that, we surrender to his blessings. So tonight, I'm not asking you to to surrender your life to him. I'm asking you to surrender your taste to him. You see the difference? Sometimes we have to be told, stop that, give that up, place that in the master's hand. But that was, I think, more this morning's message. Tonight's message is, Lord, I give the calibration of my taste to you. Whatever is good to you, I want that to taste good to me. Let's stand together, shall we? I learned the song as I was a little boy. I'm sure most of you learned it at a young age too. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The lover of your soul is in the house tonight. Sadly, some of us spent last week forgetting how much Jesus loves us. We could only see the things we didn't have as opposed to the divine favor that was dancing off of us on every side. Have you ever been caught in one of those cloudbursts? You're dry one moment and the next moment you're a drowned rat. I mean, you got to go home and change your shoes because it's soaked all the way through. We walk under the blessings and divine favor. It's at a cloud bursting in here, folks. Showers of blessings are in the place. The lover of your soul is in the house. He truly knows how to bless you. So my altar call tonight for you, if you choose to respond and come and stand at this altar, say, Lord, I surrender my taste buds to you. I want to enjoy the flavors of your gift more than anything else. Maybe some of you are like me. I got to repent a little bit here. Because I've been thinking about the taste that I don't have. I've been thinking about the Lord's blessings like a spiritual diet. It's told me to get off a Diet Coke. So I spend my days thinking about a Diet Coke. Told me to get off cheesecake. So I spend my days thinking about cheesecake. Lord, I repent right now that I've wasted so much of my life thinking about the things that you know aren't best for me. So as I repent of that, Lord, I want you to put in this place divine taste buds. Your blessings that are in the room right now, my spiritual receptors are up just to receive the goodness of your blessings and sense them. I'm in your hand. Woo! That feels good. Nobody can take me out of Jesus' hand. Woo! That's a blessing from above. I never have to be afraid that I'll be lost as long as I don't walk away. Woo! The Father's kept me in the Master's hand. I like the taste of that. Your divine favor is on me. What you say is good to me. I taste that and I enjoy the flavors. Finally, Lord, the peace that you give. I love that peace. You bake peace better than anybody this world can. You're the one that tunes peace right from my circumstance and my situation. I receive it now, the peace of the Lord. Somebody needs to raise a hand and receive the blessings of the Lord right now in the house. Oh, Jesus, we receive your blessings right now. I repent of turning your blessings away. Much of the sorrow in my life has been from wanting my kind of blessings. I repent of that and I walk away from it. Right now I receive your blessings. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from you, oh Lord. Ah, tune our home life, Lord Jesus. Give us a blessed home. Oh, the rest of my days, let my diet be tuned. Why do I need to taste any other flavor when all the good stuff comes from you? Why would I want to be satisfied with anything else when you've been so good to me and your blessings wash over me? Dear Lord, I never want to tire of your blessings. You define the good blessings in my life, and I never want to tire of it. Brother, be blessed right now. What you feel right now, that calibrates your blessing meter for the rest of your life. What Jesus is doing in your spirit right now, everything else has to be calibrated against that and measured against that. In Jesus' name I pray, give my brother the strength to walk away from every other flavor. Every other flavor of blessing. Every other flavor of desire. Because, oh Lord, nothing is as good as what